Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We'll get to some of the issues of why you wanted to run in a minute, but I wanted to get to today's news first of the Supreme Court ruling unanimously that President or former President Trump can't be removed from ballots. He was removed from two ballots, but the odds were that it was going to be more depending on what the Supreme Court said. Yeah. Your thoughts on how they ruled?
Well, I'm really glad they ruled the way we did. I expected that they would rule the way they did. I mean, voters should be the ones to make this decision about who gets to be our next president, not activists in liberal states, not even activist judges in liberal states. And so I think it's a good thing so that the American people get to make this decision.
As we're heading towards our primary and our caucus day here in Utah and then further down the road, have you picked a candidate in the presidential race?
Yeah, I actually support and endorsed Donald Trump a few months ago and think that it was very clear that he was going to be the next nominee, and I believe he'll be the next president of the United States. And we need to unify the Republican Party around him, and we're doing that right now. We've seen that happen over and over and over again. And get the country back on track with his leadership. So I'm excited that we're heading that direction.
Nikki Haley has been campaigning here in Utah. She was here last week. She will stay on the ballot through Super Tuesday. Do you appreciate that there are options here for people as they go to the caucus?
Sure. Well, that's the process, and it's obviously her decision whether or not she wants to stay in the process or not. I think the writing is on the wall, though, Heidi. I mean, from a while ago, it was really clear that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, and we've got to send people back to Washington that are going to work closely with him, fight for Utah, fight to get the country's problems fixed. And, you know, Nikki Haley's worked really hard and fought hard, but at the end of the day, Donald Trump's going to be the nominee.
If Donald Trump is the nominee, will he take part in debates as we go forward? Here in Utah, we're going to have a debate, and it's going to be at the University of Utah, and it could be a very empty stage if both President Biden and former President Trump decide that they're not going to participate in the process.
Well, I hope that they choose to participate. I think it's good for the American people to hear both presidential nominees discuss the issues, learn from them what their opinions are. But, you know, and that's a long way off in politics, and we'll see what happens. But isn't it great that Utah has been chosen to be one of the hosts? And we did such a great job with the vice presidential debate a few years ago that they wanted to bring it back here. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. So. As we head to Super Tuesday, Utah's GOP party decided to have a caucus. What do you think about that decision? I know a lot of people have been frustrated by it.
Well, I think it's great. It places us in the middle of this with Super Tuesday, and this will tonight it will be over. I mean, tonight the presidential nomination process, I think, in terms of who our nominee will be, is going to be over for all intents and purposes, and we're going to be part of that. And we saw Nikki Haley; she did come here because of that. If we were participating in the primary months in the future, we would not be relevant at all. And so my recommendation is everyone participate in your caucuses and go out and get engaged. And if you didn't, pay attention to what happened and talk to your neighbors that were there.
So they were unable to hold a primary tonight? Or for a Super Tuesday, Utah was unable to hold a primary. It had to be a caucus if they wanted to be on the Super Tuesday date.
You know, it could we could have had a primary, but it would have been down the road.
Down the road.
Yeah, down the road.
Why is that?
So, you know, I don't have the answer to that right off
to
the top
the rules.
Of my head.
No, that's fine. But, I know that a lot of people feel like it's easier just to fill in their ballot and send in and show up at their caucus meetings.
Yeah.
You obviously go to the caucus meetings. If people haven't been, what's it like and why should they participate?
Yeah, well, it's a great opportunity and a great way to go out and meet your neighbors, go out into your precinct, and you just get in a room, basically, and you will decide who you want to support for the president. You'll also decide who you want to send to be state delegates to the state convention and county delegates to your county convention and who's going to run the precinct for the next couple of years. And it's really the grassroots of politics in Utah, and it's served us really well for a long time. I think it's going to continue to serve us well in the future. So I've been doing this for probably almost 40 years, and it's a great experience if you go out and do it.
There are expectations that the results are a foregone conclusion. Will that keep people at home, or do you think people will still show up because they want their voice to be heard?
Well, I hope they still show up because there's a lot of big decisions that still need to be made. I mean, we're going to make in convention, decisions will be made about who the conventions are going to nominate to be that our Senate candidates, Attorney General candidates, other candidates, local candidates. So these caucuses do matter and the conventions do matter. So,
what would you say to people who feel like they don't want to go discuss these things with their neighbors? Because they're like, I just want to be friends with them. And I don't want to have to fight politics with them.
Well, you can go and quietly vote and place your vote. You don't have to stand up and debate and argue things back and forth. But I will say this, too. It's also a really good way to educate yourself about the issues and about candidates. You will learn things when you participate in these caucus nights about what's really going on in your local communities and what are the issues in your city, in your county, and what are people paying attention to. And I promise people if they go, they will leave more informed than when they got there.
It definitely is an education showing up to those. Looking to a lot of the issues that I think are going to be part of the thought process on Super Tuesday, people are thinking about what's happening in Washington or a lot of what's not happening in Washington. The border. We saw President Biden and former President Trump in their dueling news conferences last week, both blaming the other for the problems that we're seeing right now. How do we fix this? Is Congress the answer? Do they need to sit down and hash out a plan, or do they listen to Trump and wait?
Well, Congress has the ability to solve this issue if they want. But quite frankly, Joe Biden has the ability to close the border down right now. It's why you saw Border Patrol agents supporting Donald Trump, because they're so frustrated right now that the president, who opened up the border when he became president, has done very little to try to close things down. And so the tools are there. There are resources there. The political will and the leadership is not there. People are frustrated. Now, Congress can do more, and I think they should do more, and I think you'll see them leaning into this issue in the near future. But we have to secure our border. You know, Heidi, we know that the border crisis right now in America is costing every single taxpayer $1,200, $1,300 a year by the time you look at the burden this is placing on our criminal justice system, on our schools, on our healthcare system. The list goes on and on. Americans are frustrated. They're angry. They should be. And the fact of the matter is Joe Biden is the one to blame right now for this issue. So we need to get this solved.
President Trump fixed some of the problems through executive order, but the executive order problem is that you can undo them.
That's right.
President Biden felt like he was also fixing the problem by undoing what he did. I feel like every election for as many decades as I can remember as a voter that it's been an issue where they were talking about securing the border and figuring it out. But there's always another election, so it doesn't get figured out. If you were in Congress right now, what would you do to help move the needle in one direction or the other?
Well, you are right. This issue has gone unsolved for far too long, and we need leadership in Washington, D.C. that's going to solve it. And getting hard things done in a legislative body isn't easy, right? You've got to get people there. They're going to focus on an issue, be really gritty about it, lean into it, and make sure that you get enough people to go along with a solution until you find a resolution to it. And we haven't had enough people in Washington that have been focused on this. And it's one of the things that I look forward to leaning into most heavily when I get back in Washington, because Utahns are frustrated. They've told me loud and clear as I've traveled the state, they want the border closed and they want legal immigration to start happening again the right way. And Utah has played a leadership role in so many different ways across the country. There's no reason why a U.S. senator from Utah couldn't help solve this problem.
So what's the fix? Because obviously it doesn't seem like it's going to happen now, and that might be partially because Trump told them to leave it alone.
Yeah.
First of all, was that the right call for him to say that, or should he stay out of this and let Congress do their job?
He was very clear that he said, he didn't say leave it alone. He said this particular piece of legislation does not solve the problem. Don't pass a bad piece of legislation. And that legislation wasn't the right solution. I mean, it said to start worrying about closing the border when you had about 1.8 million people cross the border illegally, then start worrying about the border. I mean, come on, we can't do that. We've got to have a better policy in place than that. So the solution is to have a border that's closed, and we need to build the wall. I do believe in that. and use the Border Patrol agents, give them the tools and resources they need to close it. And even if we need to support the Border Patrol with the military for a short period of time until we get the border closed, I think that makes a lot of sense. But then, let's fix the legal immigration process. We are a country of immigrants. We all know how valuable it is to have the right people here when we know who they are, we know they have good intentions, mm-hmm. and they can help solve some of the issues that our employers have in terms of labor. And so there's a lot of great ways we can help a lot of people with this, but having a wide open border isn't one of them.
If you were in Congress right now, do you support the idea of trying to get the border issue, Ukraine, and also funding for Israel all in the same bill, or would you split that up? How would you do it?
Well, we'll see what they do over the course of the next few months. You've got all these different issues, both domestically and internationally, that Congress is trying to wrestle to the ground.
Yeah.
And, of course, I believe we need to support our ally Israel in defending themselves and dealing with Hamas. That needs to be done in a surgical way, and we're going to continue to support them, I'm sure, as a country with the aid that they need. We've supported Israel for years.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been a great ally, and without them in the Middle East, we would see a lot of problems, I think, that we don't have right now. So I'm very supportive of what's happening there. With Ukraine, people mm-hmm. are frustrated. Americans are frustrated. There's been $100+ billion of American taxpayer dollars sent there. They want to know where that money's gone. Mm-hmm. They want to know what the strategy is for that money, and they want to have a lot more accountability for the money that's going to go there in the future, assuming Congress does that. I don't think those mm-hmm. things are too much to ask for, and stopping Putin is something I think we all believe in. He's clearly an enemy on the global stage, someone that would love to make sure America is weakened every mm-hmm. chance he gets. But if we're going to support the war in Ukraine, we've got to be very strategic about it. And I think it's fair for Congress to expect that from the White House as they continue to put money into that effort.
So checks and balances as to where the money's
Absolutely.
Going, or how would you do that?
Yeah, well, for sure. There needs to be more accountability for that money, more reporting of where that money went. And it needs to go for military purposes, not for political or domestic purposes in Ukraine.
Back to the issue in Israel and Palestine with Hamas, there's a lot of Palestinians here in Utah who have been out protesting, one illegal protest over the weekend where they shut down traffic. But their protests are growing, that they want their voice heard. How do you solve that problem while also listening to the Palestinian people?
Well, you know, this is America. Mm-hmm. We value people having their voice heard, and I think that is an important part of what will happen in this process.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Congress is going to make a decision about what they think's best in terms of supporting Israel with additional funding, and I'm sure that'll be part of it.
I don't know what the number one issue is when you go out and talk to voters,
yep.
but when I'm talking to my neighbors, I'm talking to people at the grocery store, it seems like the economy seems to
yeah.
be just that simmer that just keeps kind of hanging over people's
mm-hmm.
heads right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can Congress help fix this problem by working on the budget issue? What's the fix to start sending us in the right direction where families feel like they're not just to the brink every
yeah.
single month?
Well, Utah families do feel like they've been pushed to the brink. And you said the word economy, but I'll just kind of maybe peel the layer back one additional level, which is what they really feel right now is this incredible inflation
mm-hmm.
that's hurt them. And we know in the last 3 years since Biden became president, the average Utah family has seen their cost of living increase by about $8,000 a year, Heidi. And that is real money. Everything is costing Utahns so much more money, whether it's cars or housing or food.
Yeah.
Food right now is costing as much for a Utah family as a percentage of their household budget as it did when I was in high school. I mean, that's how much Utah families
yeah.
are spending on food. So they are frustrated, but it's inflation that they're frustrated with.
So how do you fix inflation? Because
yeah.
I know that we've been watching
yeah,
the
yeah,
real
yeah.
estate market where those
yeah.
rates have been
mm-hmm.
going up, hoping to fix that. Has it fixed inflation or at least slowed it
yeah.
down how we were hoping?
Well, the reason we have all this inflation is because the White House and Congress has spent so much money. And we don't have fiscal discipline in Washington, D.C. And you ask about the solution.
Mm-hmm.
The solution is for Congress to start spending less and, in fact, spending what they generate. They're going to spend almost $2 trillion more this year back mm-hmm. in Washington than they're generating. In what world does that make sense, that we can spend that much more money than we're generating in Washington, D.C.? And then the American people, American families, are the ones that are paying the price for it. There needs to be some fiscal discipline mm-hmm. in Washington. And here's what's great about what's happening right now. In Utah, we know how to do that. As Speaker of the House, not only did I balance our budget, but I balanced our budget and cut taxes three different times for the biggest tax cuts in the history of Utah. Now, that's the kind of leadership we need in Washington, is how do you balance a budget? How do you actually cut taxes? And by the way, that doesn't create the kind of inflation that you're seeing in Washington.
So how does that translate? Because I know it's easy for Republicans to say they want to, you know, be a fiscal conservative and cut the budgets. But when they get there and their votes needed and their party wants them to, they keep spending away too. We know that during the pandemic, a lot of that money, there may not have been a choice about a lot of it, probably was. But President Trump really increased the deficit by trillions of dollars that we hadn't seen before. And then going back in the opposite direction is hard. You have to take something away from someone that we've already given. How do you do that and actually fulfill a campaign promise and make it happen?
Well, this shouldn't be about campaign promises. This should be about what's right for the American people. This should be about what's right in terms of spending and controlling spending. Mm-hmm. And you've got to change the system in Washington. We've got to either pass a balanced budget amendment, or we've got to do something legislatively that says Congress can't spend more money than they're taking in. And we need some people back there that have actually done the work, that have actually balanced budgets at a state level and have cut taxes at the same time. Utah's very unique in the sense that we have done that. But until you change the system, the only way you're going to change the system is change the people we send back there. You're going to continue to have this problem. And this is the number one issue I hear from Utahns, whether I'm up in Tremont or I'm down in St. George and everywhere in between. They want Congress to finally get their act together and start spending less money.
Yeah, I think a lot of people believe that same way. You work in real estate, and you've seen what's happened in the housing market. Mm-hmm. You have kids. I have kids. Yeah. I wonder if they'll ever be able to afford a house. Is that something that Congress can be a part of, or is this just the way the world's moving and our kids are going to have to figure out a different way than we did before to save up and buy a house?
Yeah, it is really, really a challenge for Utahns right now. The vast majority of Utahns couldn't afford to buy the house they live in.
I could not.
So it's crazy how expensive homes are. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's supply and demand. But the other thing that's changed so dramatically for people is just what a house payment costs them.
Yeah.
And that's a function of inflation and interest rates. And that's a function of all the spending in Washington. So until we get spending under control in Washington, you're likely to see interest rates stay high, and you're likely to see housing be unaffordable for Utah families. And I do worry about the next generation. I mean, like you, Heidi, I have kids that are sort of launching in the world, and they're looking at their future, and they want to know that someday they'll be able to live the American dream of owning their own home. And we want to help them as parents, but we need leaders back in Washington and here in the state that are going to lean into this issue. You've seen a lot more done at a state level. We've done more here to help Utah families get into their first home than Washington's ever thought of. Washington's made the problem worse. Utah leaders have tried to make the problem easier to solve.
Do you support what the Utah legislature has done with the tax dollars going towards down payments for some families, or is that the taxpayer having to help out other families they didn't get help with?
Well, it's a sad thing that our leaders in Washington have got this so wrong that Utah leaders have had to step in and create a grant program for people to get into their first home. I am supportive of it. It happened when I was Speaker of the House, and it's had great success. We're seeing people get into first-time homebuyer purchases that they normally wouldn't have been able to qualify for. But here's what's great about that program, and you understand this. They get this grant, they use it to help buy a home, but eventually that down payment assistance that they received gets paid back to the same pool at the state so someone else can use that money down the road. And this is one of the ways that Utah is basically having to create a workaround because Washington, D.C. is broken. And if I could have a nickel for every time Utah has had to create a workaround because Washington, D.C. is broken, it would be amazing.
And you believe you can take some of that creativity and translate
Absolutely.
It on a national level?
Absolutely. You know, we need more people in Washington, D.C. that have been in the trenches at a state level solving problems and have seen from a front row seat the problems and dysfunction that's created in Washington. And that's what's really unique about my candidacy. I mean, I'm the only person that's running in this race that has a record of the biggest tax cuts in the history of the state. I'm the only person running in this race that has helped initiate suits against the federal government because of all the problems that they've caused, whether it's on energy policy or public lands or other issues. And having someone that's actually lived the problems that the federal government's created go back to Washington and prevent problems from happening and fix the problems that are already there is a unique opportunity for Utahns. And that's part of the reason why I'm running.
I may have gotten the count wrong, but I think there's about 16 candidates in the race right now. How do you keep fighting forward and get your message out when we have this many people? An open Senate seat draws a crowd.
It does draw a crowd. And the Republican primary in June, I think, is going to be where this is probably decided. And we're working really hard. I've been all over the state. We're campaigning 6 days a week, big groups, small groups, everything in between, and travel all over to get our message out that what Utahns are looking for is someone that's got experience, successfully being a lawmaker, that has done the hard things and is going to go back to Washington and fight for them. And that's what they're looking for. You know, they've said to me over and over again, Brad, could you please go back to Washington, D.C. and make it look a lot more like Utah? And my response is simply this. I am running to represent Utah to D.C. I want to represent Utahns to D.C. and go back and fight for them. I'm not going back to represent Washington, D.C. to Utah.
When you look at funding, you and probably Representative John Curtis have the most money, and sometimes the most money wins. If people are looking at both of you as candidates coming from Utah that say, you know, we want to take the Utah way and translate it into what's happening on the federal level, what differentiates you from him?
Well, you know, talk about funding. In these elections, funding does matter, and we have raised a record amount of money in this race from Utahns. No one has ever raised as much money for a federal race in as short a period of time as we have from everyday Utahns. And over 90% of our contributions have come from Utahns. And the other big candidates in this race that have raised a lot of money, that's not where their money's coming from. In some cases, it's coming from Washington, D.C. And so that's a real differentiator in terms of where the support is coming from in this election. But we'll use that resource to get our message out. But grassroots matter too. I mean, we just last week said, and we announced 22 of Utah's 29 sheriffs are supporting my candidacy. Three-fourths or more of the Republicans in the legislature are supporting my candidacy. Governor Cox is supporting my candidacy. And so no one has the grassroots support that we have, and no one also has the support of elected officials, including 60-plus mayors from across the state and some of our biggest cities. And here's why all these people, I think, Heidi, are wanting me to get elected to the U.S. Senate. They know I'm going to fight for Utah. They know I've got the experience to do this, and they know that what this country needs and what Utah needs is to have someone that's actually done the work before.
It's probably going to be a Republican. That's how Utah works, that will win the Senate seat. Yep. But there are a lot of Democrats in the state, and I think a growing number of Democrats who feel like sometimes they're not represented by who's elected in the state. How will you, if elected, make sure that you listen to both sides? Because there is a growing number that see the world a little differently here in Utah.
Well, I think to do this job well, you've got to listen to Utahns from different parts of the state, with different backgrounds, from different parties, so you have all the information you need to make good informed decisions back in Washington, D.C. And I'm committed to doing that. That's the way I served as Speaker of the House. It's the way that I will be back as the next U.S. Senator for Utah.
You get the last word.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to do this. I love the state. I've lived here my whole life. And what Utahns have said, and I've already said this, is they want someone that's going to go back to Washington and fight for them, but someone that is a practical problem solver. And that's what I've done my entire career in public service. And if we've ever had a time when we needed someone that's a practical problem solver, that's a strong fighter, that's going to go back and do the right thing, our country's never seen a time more critical than now to have that back there.
Well, thank you for joining us.